Science of Deduction, Sherlock Holmes for the 21st Century. Episode 2, Ruined Banker. Adapted by Alexa Chipman from Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Post-produced by Roy Spearman.
Sherlock.
Hmm?
I'm going out.
Bored.
Yes, well, you could come along, unless you prefer whatever it is you're doing.
You don't believe I can play this?
If so, I've never heard it. Oh, much better. Another few minutes and Mrs. Hudson would have come in and smashed it over your head.
No, no. The head's in the kitchen.
Not again. Sherlock, what do you think of that bloke down on the street?
He's behaving in a most peculiar manner.
He keeps contorting this way and that, looking up at the numbers.
He's coming here.
Not the sandwich shop. Could be a bit peckish.
What did I tell you?
Are you all right?
Whoa. Sherlock, help me get him away from the wall.
Have a seat, and take a moment to calm yourself. I presume you've come to me for assistance.
Yes, Mr. Holmes.
Must be important to send you stumbling through a door behaving like Dobby the House Elf.
Oh, no doubt you think me quite mad.
Not at all. Sign of an interesting problem at hand.
Oh, God. This should have come upon me.
Excellent. Do continue.
Sherlock.
Public disgrace. That I could bear. Difficult times at home. Those are sorted out in the end. But for the two to combine with such terrible force, and itself rightful of form, and alter my own... Oh, God.
Mr. Holder, do pull yourself together, man. How will the bank survive without you?
Bank?
Alexander Holder of Holder & Stevenson, Threadneedle Street, one of the largest banking concerns in the city.
How did... never mind. Lestrade said you were like that. He sent me here straight away. I ran all the way from the tube. Hold on. It started yesterday. A young man came to me for a loan. His name I cannot reveal. He needed the advance quickly and quietly, leaving a priceless piece of jewelry in my hands as security. It has been handed down through the noble houses of Britain for generations. Queen Victoria's emerald and diamond tiara, designed by Prince Albert himself. Well, I put it straight into the most secure vault in the bank, but I was unable to bring myself to leave it unattended. In hindsight, my act was foolish, but I thought if I never let the tiara out of my sight...
I understand.
I locked it securely in my library safe. It adjoins my bedroom, and I kept a door open between the two last night.
And in the morning, the jewels were gone.
If only that was so. I am a light sleeper, but something awoke me. At first I lay awake, but I kept seeing those glistening emeralds in my mind, and at last clambered out of bed to check the safe. The scene of horror I shall never forget. The safe door was open, and my son, Arthur, stood bent over the tiara, forcefully attempting to wrench emeralds out of the metal. Then he saw me.
Father?
You blasted villain! Thief! How could you steal the royal jewels? Drop it this instant! Blackguard! You have dishonored me forever!
Stolen?
You thief! Three of the emeralds are missing!
No, that's not possible. They must be all here.
Liar! I saw you tearing them off. Where have you hidden them? Tell me!
How dare you insult me? Why should I tell you anything? I'm stopping at McCreary's tonight.
You shall do no such thing. I'm calling the police. They'll have you to hand.
What's going on? Why are you shouting, Uncle? Oh, the tiara!
Please, Father, let me go out for a moment of air before the coppers arrive.
So you can make a dash for it? What do you take me for? You stay right here.
Only a few minutes, I swear. If you don't, we are both lost.
You need to face the fact that the jig is up, Arthur. Mary? Ring the police.
Yes, I... Oh.
Now look here. Give a full confession and hand over the emeralds to me, and we will hear no more about it.
Keep your sympathy for someone who asks for it.
And that, Mr. Holmes, is the whole of it.
Had your son a prior reputation for theft, pinching things as a lad?
No, that's why I was so taken aback by it. But it is hardly surprising, what with his gambling debts. He came to me that morning pleading for a loan.
And did you grant it?
Not so much as a fiver. Told him he needed to keep better company than the likes of Sir George. Having a title is one thing, but that man...
And your niece?
Mary? Her parents died in a car crash when she was 12. Dear little thing, she is the sunbeam of my house. Sweet, loving, gentle. I would be lost without her. It'll be a lucky bloke that snags her. Not that she goes out, barely leaves the house. She is too shy.
Would either of them have had access to the safe code?
Mary had the combination. I wouldn't trust Arthur with it, considering he was always off with Sir George. Wait. She must have told him. I remember now. When he asked me for a loan, Arthur mentioned that he would be happy to get it out of the safe himself and spare me the trouble. Oh, if only I had changed the code then! But I thought too highly of his integrity. He was my only son, after all. I did spoil him after my wife died.
How often do you have colleagues over?
Never. Mary doesn't like strangers. Only an occasional mate of Arthur's, mostly Sir George.
And was this a shock to her?
Oh yes, even more than I.
And you do not doubt Arthur's guilt?
I saw him holding the tiara myself.
Other than the missing emeralds, was there any damage to it?
Yes, it was badly twisted.
Could he have been trying to straighten it when you barged in?
If so, what was he doing there at all? And if he were innocent, why didn't he speak up?
And if he were guilty, why did he not invent a convincing lie? What of the noise which woke you?
Closing his door?
A man bent on stealing priceless jewels does not slam a door. And where are the emeralds?
Lestrade has been ransacking the floor and furnishings.
What about outside the house, in the garden?
They've minutely walked over every centimetre. The police have shown extraordinary energy.
Let us hope not, for our sake. Now, while this appears to be a simple case, it is exceedingly complex and much deeper than you or Lestrade believe. Consider your theory. Arthur got up, crept at great risk into the library adjoining your room, knowing that you were a light sleeper, opened the safe, took the tiara, then proceeded to stand there and break off portions of it, thus producing a very loud sound which woke you, paused to hide the emeralds with such skill that Scotland Yard is unable to locate them, then returned to the safe with the rest and began to break off more, leaving himself in the most vulnerable place in the house.
But what other theory is there?
That is what you came to me to find out. Come, Watson. The game is on.
If you say that one more time, I'm putting it in my blog.
Mr. Holder, I am indebted to you. This puzzle has saved me from an afternoon of boredom. Nothing but a murder could be better.
Well, the day's still young.
That's the spirit, John.
Lovely little country place you have here. Regency?
Yes. I had an offer once from the BBC for one of their Jane Austen programmes. Too much bother having film crews tramping over the place, so I declined.
I think I'll have a look around the garden first. Don't follow, you'll only be in my way.
Looks like a hound on a scent.
You think this is bad? You should see him when he's bored.
Oh?
Last time he got hold of my army gun and began shooting holes in the wall. Ah, this must be Mary.
Are you Mr. Holmes?
No, John Watson, colleague of his.
I know Arthur has done some harm, but really, did you have to be so harsh with him, Uncle? I am sure his silence is only angry that you suspect him. Maybe he only picked the tiara up to look at.
What about me? All you care about is whether or not he goes to prison, which I hope he does. What about the consequences I must face, eh?
I can only hope there is some loophole that can be found letting him off.
Any luck?
Yes. Would you be so kind as to fetch the tiara? I must examine it.
Of course.
Mary, did you hear anything last night when the jewels were taken?
Not until my uncle began blustering about.
And you locked all the windows and doors?
Yes, and I checked this morning. They were still locked from the inside.
Did you open the kitchen window for any reason last night?
No, of course not.
Here's the tiara. As you see, it is quite twisted. Nothing a good metalsmith can't mend, but the missing emeralds are irreplaceable.
Excellent. Break three more off.
I beg your pardon?
Very well, then. I shall.
Sherlock, are you sure that's a good idea? It's Queen Victoria's jewels and all.
I feel it give, but though my fingers are exceptionally strong, I'd never be able to break it. No ordinary man could. What was Arthur wearing at the time?
Only his trousers.
Not even slippers or socks?
No.
And where is his room in the house?
On the first floor, across from mine.
Good. I thought as much. Come, Watson, let us catch the next train back to London.
And the emeralds? Where are they?
Who knows?
And my son?
Innocent.
For God's sakes, tell me what happened last night.
Come by Baker Street between 9 and 10 tomorrow. Oh, and I will need rather a large sum.
I'd give everything I own to have the jewels back.
Very good. Text me if anything new turns up.
Sherlock, did I just miss something?
That would hardly be surprising. May I borrow your phone?
You're actually going out dressed like that?
You disapprove?
You look like a tramp. Even your face is dirty. Ooh, is that the latest big issue?
That'll be a quid, John.
Oh, sod off.
Gladly. Don't forget to get the milk.
Just once, I'd like to see him do the bloody shopping.
Victory!
That's a trainer.
Your talent for stating the obvious never ceases to amaze me.
Are you staying for tea? I ordered some takeaway.
Excellent. I'll have a shower first, then tell you all about it.
Thanks, but I don't really need to know.
I thought you'd be fascinated.
Not really. I'm seeing someone, remember?
What?
What?
I meant about the case.
Oh, that? Yeah, right. Carry on. Well, that was awkward. Wonder who would be texting him. That's Alexander Holder's number. Mary ran off. Need advice. Call me. Sherlock!
Fascinating. Mr. Holder? Sherlock here. She sent you an email. Forward it to me. Don't worry, I'm sure it isn't suicide. No. No. Come by at the stated time. Goodbye.
What's this about? And where have you been?
Read the email out when it comes up. I need to change.
My dearest uncle, I feel I've brought trouble upon you, and if I'd acted differently, all of this would have been avoided. I can never be happy again in your presence, so I'm leaving forever. Don't worry about me, I'll be all right. Please don't look for me. It won't do any good and will only give us both pain. Your loving Mary.
You could have left that last bit off. It hardly signifies. Now, where's the takeaway?
It's in the fridge by the severed hand you bought yesterday.
Oh yes, of course.
Mr. Holmes, I've lost everything. My son, my niece, my reputation.
Hardly. Allow me to relate the true events of that evening.
Finally.
Like yourself, your son is a light sleeper. It often runs in families. He was also troubled about his gambling debts and no doubt lay awake much of the night. Being so close to his cousin and in an old house whose doors often creak, he clearly heard her door open at a most unusual hour. Perhaps he wished to speak with her, or her own restlessness propelled him to get up to nick something out of the kitchen. He followed her down the stairs and saw her go into the kitchen. Again he followed, no doubt for some tea or a sweet to calm his own sleeplessness.
I got your email.
Come on out.
Through the window?
Why not? I'll catch you.
What he did not expect to find was his cousin leaving the house for a quick snog with Sir George.
This is preposterous.
It is what was written in the garden soil. When I examined the area beneath the kitchen window, I found clear indications.
Nothing wrong with going off for a snog.
Arthur waited in the kitchen for them to return, wanting to speak with Mary about it. He did not consider Sir George worth her affections.
He seemed an amiable bloke.
Google him one of these days, Mr. Holder. I found some information regarding Sir George Burnwell that would make me very hesitant to allow anyone of my acquaintance near him.
And my son knew this?
Yes. He found the friendship dangerous and exciting. But with Mary?
Ah, I see.
Their conversation upon returning sent his blood cold. They were discussing the tiara. It was very natural for her to mention it. What girl wouldn't?
Mary, don't you see? This is our salvation. We'd have enough to set up anywhere.
But my uncle, he's practically raised me.
They won't blame him. You can do it up like a proper burglary. How could you doubt me? Don't you see, this is what is best for us.
Well, I suppose. Wait here. I'll throw it out to you.
Horrified by what he overheard, but unwilling to believe her capable of such an act, Arthur stealthily followed her into the library.
The tiara! Here it is, Georgie.
My love, you excel yourself.
Mary, what have you done?
Arthur!
Get away from that window.
Your son clambered through the window in pursuit of his former friend. I saw the clear imprint of a large bare foot on the windowsill, then on the ground, outside overlaying the retreating Sir George.
Stop right there, George.
Both had hold of the tiara, and their combined force did what one man could not. It snapped off the emeralds.
The sound which woke me.
Believing he had recovered the tiara, your son raced back into the house to replace it in the safe. He didn't want his cousin to face punishment and hoped you would simply never know of what had occurred. Before he put it back in the safe, Arthur noticed it had been badly twisted. He was attempting to put it right when you blundered in.
Is it possible?
You then called him names at a moment he felt he deserved your warmest thanks, and he couldn't explain what had really happened without showing Mary's guilt. An old-fashioned chivalrous view, no doubt, but an admirable one.
God, what a blind fool I've been. And his asking to go out for a few minutes. The dear chap wanted to find the missing piece at the scene of the struggle. Oh, how can he ever forgive me?
Considering his connection with your family and past history, Sir George was the likely man responsible. I therefore went to his house in the disguise of a tramp and managed to charm him into giving me a pair of his cast-off shoes. It was a simple matter of returning to your house with their precise measurements.
I saw an ill-dressed vagabond in the lane. That was you?
After changing and having a spot of tea, I went round to Sir George as my proper self.
Yes, what do you want?
The emeralds, if you please.
What emeralds? What are you on about?
Yesterday evening, you convinced a young Mary Holder to steal a priceless tiara, but you were followed by her cousin. There was a row, and he cut you on the jaw. You fled the scene, but retained a piece which had broken off in the struggle. After climbing over the footpath Kissing Gate, you were picked up by a passing motorist on their way to Linfield. Drop it. I have the draw on you. Now, we can have a proper talk. I am willing to give 10,000 apiece.
Oh, dash it. I'd let them go 8 grand for a lot.
I soon managed to acquire the address of the bloke he'd sold them to, and after much chaffering, managed to purchase the emeralds back for you. I looked in on your son and let him know all was well, and eventually got back to bed at about 2 o'clock, after what I call a hard day's work.
A day which has saved myself and Britain from a great public scandal. I cannot find words to thank you. Your skills have exceeded all that I have heard. Now I must go see Arthur and apologize to him for the wrong I have done him. I fear not even your skill can inform me of where Mary has got to.
On the contrary, she is with Sir George. And it is equally certain that, however appalling her behavior in this matter has been, she will soon receive more than sufficient punishment.
Featuring the voice talent of Roy Spearman as narrator, Terry Cooper as Sherlock Holmes, David McIver as Dr. John Watson, Brian Reed as Alexander Holder, Tanya Milievich as Mary Holder, Jim Patton as Arthur Holder, Alex Gilmore as Sir George Burnwell. Music by Kevin MacLeod at Incompetech.com. This is a Misfits Audio production. Please visit MisfitAudio.com for more information. Released under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives 3.0 license in 2011.